Please be seated.
Let us pray. God of mercy, grant that the words you speak this day through scripture and sermon may take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Savior and to his glory. Amen.
Amen.
God's word comes to us this morning in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You will find this passage on page 1031 in the Pew Bibles. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people."
Pray with me. Lord Jesus, open our hearts and our ears and our minds that we may hear your call to us this day and respond with a hearty yes to come and follow you and to fish for people. Amen. The Christian life is all about knowing and serving the Son of God who came to be the Savior of the world. How and when that kind of relationship with the risen Christ begins for each of us depends on who we are and what's going on in our lives at the time. Some of us have sort of slid into that relationship of trust and love because we had the benefit of growing up in homes where Jesus has always seemed to be present. Others of us have had profound experiences which can only be described in terms like being converted or born again. But the fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit brings us to a saving relationship with Christ at that time and in that way which He knows is best suited to who we are. But that relationship is always rooted in God's Word, where Jesus makes Himself known to us. So the best place for us to begin in such a relationship is with the four Gospels, as they give us the opportunity to watch the Son of God in action and to listen to the message He has for each one of us. And the first thing I would point out this morning is that saying no to Jesus can be a hard thing to do. For one thing, He always speaks with authority. If you've got a Bible with the words of Jesus in red print, one thing you cannot escape is that He comes across as someone who knows what He's talking about and who tells it like it is. And when we listen carefully to what this one whom Peter calls the master and teacher is saying, there isn't much room for denying the truth of the message He's bringing us. He knows the human heart, He knows the human condition, and when out of His deep love for each one of us, He speaks His authoritative word to you and me, it can be pretty hard to say, "No, that's just not true." Not only that, the longer we're around Jesus and the more time we spend with Him, the more we realize that He actually sees Himself as Lord of all. You'll notice from our scripture lesson this morning that when Jesus sees the size of the crowd coming to hear him teach, he realizes that if he is going to be heard by that crowd, he will have to be sitting in a boat out on the lake where the water will provide the kind of perfect acoustics so that the people can actually hear his every word. And he sees two boats pulled up on the shore, and he essentially commandeers one of them, and he tells Peter to push off from the water's edge. He doesn't ask if he may use that boat. He simply climbs aboard. Now, Jesus isn't being arrogant. He needs that boat in order to carry out the work his Father's given him to do. And so he claims it. And there's no way that Peter can say no to the one whom he will call master and will ultimately call Lord. But you know, I doubt very much that Peter would have said no even if the thought had crossed his mind. For not long before the Lord stepped into that boat, he had already spent a night at Peter's home. And while he was there, the Gospels tell us that he healed Peter's mother-in-law who was suffering from a severe fever. So I'm sure that Peter felt a sense of obligation to this one who'd been so kind to his wife's mother. He could hardly say no. And in a similar way, when you and I begin to recognize how kind and how gracious the Son of God has been to us in so many ways, we too discover a sense of indebtedness to the one who is the giver of all the blessings we enjoy. And as those feelings of gratitude grow and deepen and become stronger, we find ourselves less and less able to say no to whatever it is of ours that the Son of God wants to claim as his. But the bottom line in all of this is the fact that when we begin to deal with the Lord, we very quickly discover that he is not in the business of making suggestions or simply giving helpful advice. When it comes to belonging to him and following where he leads, it is always a matter of straightforward commands. He makes very clear in no uncertain terms what he wants and what he expects of you and me. When he tells us how he wants us to live our lives, how we're to deal with those around us, the kinds of values we're to cherish and to live by, he is not offering us options to choose from. And if we're going to throw in our lot with him, he simply will not take no for an answer. For with every command, there comes the promise that he will be with us and enabling us to the very end. And when we take that promise seriously, it makes saying no almost impossible. But if, when we hear Jesus calling to us to come and follow him, we find it hard to say no, we can also find it downright frightful to say yes. When we begin to catch a glimpse of who the Son of God is, the Holy One of Israel, we recognize how unworthy we are of his calling. And like Peter, our response is, Lord, depart from me, I am a sinner. And the reality is that the longer we walk with the Lord, the more conscious of our own sin we become. And it's a scary thing to realize that the pure and perfect Son of God wants you and me to be his representatives here on earth. How in the world can we possibly take on that responsibility? The very best thing anyone could say about us is that we are forgiven sinners who are works in progress. And it is truly intimidating to think that we can be Christians, for Christians means little Christs to the people around us. It can not only be frightening to say yes to the call of Christ, it can also be perplexing. The Lord's in the practice of commanding us to do things that seem downright unreasonable. Peter has spent all night, the entire night, out on the lake trying to catch fish, and he comes to the shore with empty nets. And then Jesus, a carpenter, not a fisherman, comes along and tells him to push out into the lake and bring in a catch. To Peter, it doesn't make any sense. But to his credit, he obeys. And the Son of God keeps his word. So when you and I come across a commandment that seems unreasonable, like forgiving 70 times 7, or when we hear a teaching which doesn't seem to make much sense and is improbable, like blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, it probably is not going to be an easy thing for us to say with Peter, but because you say, Lord, I will take you at your word, and I'll let down the nets. And beyond that, Peter's experience reminds us that when the Lord calls us to come and follow him, he expects us to leave behind the past and all that we hold dear. Peter and Andrew and James and John pull their boats up onto the shore and walk away from everything that has been central to their lives up to that point. For the next 3 years, they will travel with Jesus throughout the Holy Land, leaving their families, their fishing business, their homes, and their neighbors behind. And though the Lord may never ask that kind of a sacrifice from you and me, his expectation is that if he does, we too will rise and go wherever he may send us. And when we make the commitment to be his disciples, he especially wants us to factor into that decision what the cost may be. And seriously, that can be a little scary when it comes time to say yes. And whatever else the call of Christ may involve, it always involves seeing the people around us from a whole new perspective. And that can be a little disconcerting, not to mention inconvenient sometimes. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes that when we are in Christ and grasp his saving love for the whole world, we no longer look at others as we once did, from a worldly point of view. Everyone we meet has suddenly become someone for whom the Savior died. So no one is unimportant. No one is insignificant. The clerk in the grocery store, the serving person in the restaurant, the kids who sit alone in the cafeteria, the homeless person on the street corner. Saying yes to the Savior puts us in the debt of all those he places on our hearts. And you and I have an obligation to share with them the good news of God's saving love in Christ and what it means to us. Which brings me to the new work which the Son of God gives to Peter and also gives to us. He says, I will make you fishers of men and women. You will be catching people for me. Now, the kind of fishing Peter and his comrades have been up to involves using nets and lowering those nets into the water to surround a school of fish and then hauling those nets onto the shore and emptying them there. And there's a sense in which that is very much the way our Savior wants us to catch people for him. In one of his stories, he describes the kingdom of heaven, the church here on earth, as a net which he will use to draw people to himself. As a community of believers, we have been given the responsibility of surrounding the people around us with expressions of Christ's love and forgiveness, of his mercy and his grace. And just as Peter needed to call his partners to come and help him haul in that miraculous catch of fish on the Sea of Galilee, neither did the Lord expect him to catch men and women by himself. This business of bringing people to Christ is a task we are called to do together. And perhaps one of the best examples of that is the work done by our young people and the adults who go with them each year on our annual work camp experience. Because it's in working together, helping those in need and sharing with them the good news of forgiveness and new life through faith in Jesus, that the net of God's love, a net woven by and into each one of those work campers, becomes a fishing expedition for the kingdom of heaven. As these t-shirts say, alone we go fast, together we go far. As a result of working together, those efforts are used by the Holy Spirit to open people's hearts, and they come to trust in Christ. When it comes to fishing for people, I think it's well for us to remember that when Jesus tells his story about the kingdom being like a net, he reminds us that when that net is pulled up and emptied out at the end of the ages, we are going to find out that not all the fish in that net are good. And it is certainly true that the church today has not only genuine believers in it, it also has those who've never really put their trust in Christ. But you see, the important thing for us is that we don't have to be responsible for the catch. That's the Lord's job. He will sort it all out when he returns to judge the living and the dead. So, you know, whether the catch is large or small, whether the fish are good or bad, that's not our concern. Our task is simply to be faithful as we serve together to bring others into the sphere of Christ's love. Now, that may sound like a pretty overwhelming task for us to undertake. But don't overlook the assurance which the Lord gives to Peter when he calls him. He says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." When I was a little kid in Sunday school, we used to sing a song with these words, "I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me." And I think Jesus wants us to remember that as we seek to be faithful followers. We do not have to be afraid. He will make us into the kind of people he knows we need to be in order to reach others for him. He'll give us the kinds of experiences we need. He will provide us with the kinds of gifts we need. He will bless us with the opportunities we need to prepare us to be good fisher folk whom he can use to draw others to himself. And the most comforting part of this whole story of Peter's call to me is that Jesus is with him from the beginning to the end. Jesus is there in the boat with Peter while he teaches the crowd gathered on the shore. He's there with Peter in that boat when he tells him to launch out into the deep. He's there in that boat when the miraculous catch takes place. And he's there when Peter says, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful person." And then he's there when they return to the shore and leave everything to follow him. He's there with him through those years of training. And you know, at the very end, when Peter has denied even knowing Jesus, and when he's gone back to the Sea of Galilee to go fishing once again, even there, the risen Christ is there, giving him another miraculous catch of fish, as well as a whole new task. Beyond catching men and women for him, Peter is now to be a shepherd to the sheep and lambs of God's new fold. I firmly believe that if we're seeking to be open and listening with our hearts, we will hear Christ calling to us. If we spend time in God's Word, the Savior will make himself known to us, and he will invite us in no uncertain terms to come and to follow him. And once we've recognized him for who he is and acknowledged how much he loves us, we will find it hard to say no to that call. It may scare us. At times it may confuse us. It will almost certainly challenge us as it changes us and the way we look at the world and the people he sends into our lives. But it is only in surrendering to his love and responding to his call to share that love as part of the net which expresses that love, that you and I will fulfill the desire of the one who isn't willing that we or anyone else should perish for lack of faith in him. Beloved of the Lord, have you been listening? Because Christ is calling you. Amen.